thought for sure I heard an amen welling out from inside of people. They wanted to say it. Does anyone want to say amen?
Amen.
You know, you can say that. It's okay. It's biblical. You know? It's a biblical word. Second, I got to unsend it. Greetings from Dave and Becky Burai. They are anxiously waiting for their little term to get over and so that they can come back home. We had a great time with them and enjoyed visiting West something church. Westgate? Westwood. Westwood. Westwood Community Church. Wait a minute. Great church. Great message. Gotta wait until David and Becky are gone so I can preach it to you. We don't steal other pastors' messages. Anyway, it'll come up and it'll give me some ideas about something that I can intend to do. One of the things that it's kind of an unsuspected surprise of going and visiting them is, quite frankly, the weather was crummy over there. I mean, rain, wind, snow. It snowed on the west side. It was just horrible. So with all that going on, and my love of going up and down 89 steps or whatever it is to get to their house and up to the parking lot, I stayed there a lot. And other than getting to watch 5 issues of Scooby-Doo with Petey, the new ones just aren't any good. You gotta watch the old Scooby-Doos. But I didn't sway him from changing the channel, and I said that kid did not say a word for 4 hours. It's wonderful. But one of the other things got to do we got to watch the Olympics. Now, listen, I don't have TV at home or live TV, I didn't even really know the Olympics were going on until someone said, hey, you been watching the Olympics? No. How many of you watched the Olympics?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I got to watch the Olympics. And I'm telling you, it is just spellbinding what some of those people can do on ice skates, or what they can do on these 2 little slats of wood. Well, they're not wood anymore. I don't know what they're made of, but skis, let's put it that way. And how they just zoom down the hill and they're going, 65 miles an hour, without wheels and without a airbag or anything like that. Those people that are, the winter version of skateboarders, snowboards. Snowboard, and they go along and they do these things and they do these incredible, they're spin upside down, I get sick watching them do that. And then there's those people who go to the really top of this tower and they go down this steep slope and they jump. To me that's my version of committing suicide. But they jump and they just, I have to say I can't imagine it myself doing any of those things.
Curling.
You mean I get to be the rock? Well, I'm pretty good with a broom, so I might be able to curl. I didn't see that. But I don't know if you guys saw this, but we were watching figure skating. Not my most favorite activity to watch. And anyway, and they watched, you saw these people, and they're just skating so beautifully, and the announcer, we're using all these wonderful terms for what they're doing. And then they cut to a commercial. Now, I don't know if you remember this commercial, but this made my whole Olympic experience there. Because it was a picture of a sumo wrestler on ice skates. And he's got his sumo wrestler outfit on, which isn't much. And he's just kind of gliding along the ice, and he's doing these little things, and the announcers are going, oh, he's showing he has a little bird. And he's little, and what is this guy, 350 pounds? You know, what is, I can't believe that the skates are holding him up, you know, and stuff. And I just said, I can do that. That's me. That's me. I would never dress like him. I can do that. Well, actually, I can't, because I can't skate. But, you know, I look at that and I'm thinking, wow, to be able to do what those people can do. They can stand up on skis, on skates. They can do all this stuff. You know, I just think, I can't do any of that. Even with intense practice, even if I had started when I was a kid, I couldn't do any of that. And sometimes you can get a little discouraged about your own abilities. But I, here this morning, don't want to discourage you about yourself at all. Because we're going to talk about your abilities and your talents and your gifts. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about you, well, and me, and how we're made, and that God doesn't make mistakes when he makes us. The passage of scripture that I'm going to start with this morning, and Mike, I didn't put this on here, so don't try to find it. It's Psalms 139:14. And it reads, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for this time in your house. And thank you for this family that you have pulled together this morning to worship you and to learn from your word. As we turn to your word now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Deliver to us the message that you want us to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, again, it's when you, if you're into watching sports, and I do like watching sports, but I don't do it much anymore. Sometimes you can start feeling pretty inferior to what you're seeing out there. I mean, my goodness, if you're watching people play basketball, I mean, there are people out there who are over 7 foot tall that can run and jump and shoot and you know, and boy, and sometimes we can start envying them, thinking, well, why didn't God make me that way? Why is it that God made me the shape that I am? I have to tell you, the sport I love to play is basketball. I love to play basketball. I love to play volleyball too. But I love to play basketball. Thank you, Hannah. You didn't even ask her. See, I've been training her at home, not to ask, but just to kind of, and she could give me something, so it worked. But obviously, God did not give me a basketball body. You know, I have no neck. I'm not very tall. I don't like running. Jumping's okay. Coming down is really hard. I could shoot a basketball pretty well, so if anyone wants to sponsor me in a basketball shoot, you know, hey, I'm going to make some money for the mission team. Where are we shooting from? 2 feet out? I don't know my shoulder hold up for that anymore. But anyway, you know, what everyone wanted me to do was wrestle. Because I have a perfect body for wrestling. It was short. It was compact. It was, I have very, very powerful legs. My upper body's not that great, but my legs are tremendously strong. And they wanted me to wrestle, but no way I was going to wrestle with some other sweaty guy in a leotard. I'm not going to do that. I mean, it isn't going to happen, you know. So I said, Lord, could you have made me taller so I wouldn't have to wrestle? I wrestled. They made us wrestle in PE, and I never lost. I never lost a match. Even when I wrestled people on the wrestling team, they couldn't beat me because they couldn't put any of their headlocks on me or whatever it is because I didn't have a neck. I pulled in my shoulders, and they just beat. That's why I'm bald, because they just kept beating the top of my head like this, and so the hair just died. You know, and so they wanted me to do that, but I wanted to play basketball. I really did want to play basketball, and it just didn't work out for me. But you know, I shouldn't be discouraged about who I am, especially when I look at the scriptures that I'm going to look at this morning, because we're going to talk about who we are, who made us, what he gave us, what he built into us, and what we're supposed to do with that. You know, I'm going to start off with making a statement is God made each one of us special. God made each one of us special. Now, I know there's some of them that are saying, you know, well, hey, wait a second, I'm a product of my mom and dad. You know, it's kind of a biological thing, and it's chromosomes and all kinds of things that come together, and God didn't really make me. He set the thing in motion years ago, and then that's it. And we've just kind of been reproducing. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if we go back to Psalms 139, this time looking at verses 13 through 16, this is what David says. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Then that verse, chapter, portion of scripture right there, I mean, we could spend all day on that. It is so good. But what David is saying here is, yes, David was a product of his father and mother, but David also realizes that God has a part in our formation. He makes us who we are. He puts us together the way he wants us to be together. My brother was 6'2". Blind as a bat, but he was 6'2". And I always wanted to be 6'2", like he was. But that was my brother. My brother had a neck. I don't have a neck. My oldest brother still has hair. He's 70. He's got hair. It's not fair that he has hair. That's a poem. You know, but that's the way God made him. And he gave me abilities and talents of my own. But I am a product of God. He designed me, he made me, he knit me together in my mother's womb. And it's the same for each and every one of us. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet writes, chapter 64, verse 8, it says, but now, O Lord, you are Father. You are Father, excuse me. We are clay and you are the potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. He's the potter. are the clay. He makes us the way he wants to make us. We are special in his sight. He made us the way we are for a reason. He had a purpose for doing this. We need to discover what God has created for us to do. Now, ultimately, he creates us to praise him. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to praise him. We're supposed to bring glory to his name. Ultimately, that's what we are to do. But he has tasks and stuff for us to do. We don't all have the same task. We don't all have the same ability. Now, again, you know, you watch the Olympics. How many in here think that you could do anything that those, you know, other than curling, okay? So cross that one out, because I'm sure there's a lot of you, I can curl, you know? But how many in here think that you could do anything that they did as well as they did it? Say, yeah, you're humble. That's good. I taught you to be humble. You know, we don't have that talent. We don't have that ability. God has given to each one of us a different talent or different talents and abilities. He's given to each one of us different talents and abilities. If you go to the Gospel of Mark, he tells a parable in there. Now, this parable has a lot of different meanings to it, because he's talking somewhat about end time and being prepared and being ready. But what this parable is, it's about let me read it for you. It's very self-explanatory. Verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 25. It says, For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who calls his own slaves and entrusts them, his possessions to them. To one he gives 5 talents. To the other 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Now, in here, the talents that we're talking about is a money. It's not a talent. They're talking about money, but it doesn't just apply to money. See, this is a parable that Jesus taught, and it's teaching a lesson, and the one who is the man who is going on a journey, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. And what he is talking about is he is going to be going away, but he is giving the disciples a responsibility. He's giving them a task. And he has given them the abilities to perform that task. Because it says here he was giving them talents according to their abilities. But he didn't give them the same thing, did he? Gave one man 5, 1 2, and 1 1. That's what he did. See, and God gives us different talents, different abilities. We're not all the same. That would be very boring if we were all the same. But there's a problem with us, and I catch myself doing this all the time, complaining about who I am. Why couldn't have I been someone different? Now, physically, you know, why couldn't I have been taller? Why couldn't I have been leaner? Why do my feet point out this direction rather than straight ahead? Why did I lose my hair and my brother didn't lose his hair? Why all these things? You know, and you know what that really is? It's complaining. It's complaining to the one who made us. And listen to what it says in the book of Isaiah, the prophet writes. He says, "You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? That what is made would say to his maker, 'You did not make me?' Or what is formed says to him who formed it, 'He has no understanding.'" But see, when we complain about how God made us, when we wish we were someone else, that's what we're doing. We are the clay telling the potter, "You blew it. You blew it." Now, how many want to say that to God? Really, stop and think about it. Would you really want to say to God, "You blew it. You didn't make me the way I wanted to be made"? No, he didn't. He made me the way he wanted me to be made. And that's better. Because I know if I were in charge of making me, I would have goofed it up. I know that. And God knows that. But he made me the one I do. He gave me my abilities, gave me my talents. I am not an ultra-talented guy, and yet I do have some things that I can do quite well. Why is it that I look at the things that I can't do, that someone else can do, and envy that? When God says, you, Richard, this is how I made you. Live with it. Accept it. Use it to the glory of God. Because he gave it to me for that reason. And that brings us to our next point. God wants us to use our talents and abilities. He wants us to use them. He didn't give them to us just to sit on them. He didn't give us talents and abilities so that we could just hang them up in a closet and hide them. Let's go back to our parable that Jesus told. And I don't think I can read through all of it, but you'll get the point. Matthew 25, starting with verse 16, it says, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of these slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you have entrusted me with 5 talents to me. See, I have gained you 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. And it goes that way for the next one who comes in. Verse 24. I'm sorry, I'm skipping here. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. He gave him his talent. The response is, but his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You know that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scatter no seeds. Then you ought to have put the money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. This is a parable that Jesus taught to teach a lesson to his disciples. God is concerned about what we do with what he has given us. He is very concerned. He is watching us. He knows. For one thing, he made us, so he knows what our talents and abilities are. He wants us to use them. He wants us to use them to bring him glory. To bring him praise, to grow the kingdom. He doesn't want us to sit on our talents. He doesn't want us to sit on our abilities. He doesn't want us just to hide them, saying, oh, this isn't important. No one needs this. You know, if God gave you a talent or ability, then it can be used for his honor and for his glory, and it can be used to build up the body of believers. You're each one important to this body. Your talents and your gifts are unique to you. And if you don't use them in this body, then this body loses that. We lack that. Use what God has given you. Okay, it may not be fancy. Maybe you don't have a great voice. Maybe you're not a great speaker. Maybe you can't add figures up very well. Maybe you're not a great artist. But God has given you talents and abilities that can be used to bring glory to his name. But besides talents and abilities, God has also given to us, each one of us, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, talents and abilities are things that he produces in you, in your mother's womb. I mean, that's just, you're born. And you've seen that, people who are born talented. Obviously, you see someone who, has a talent or a gift for playing basketball. And then someone like me, who wants to play basketball but doesn't have that. Now, you can teach me and teach me and teach me and teach me, and I can learn the fundamentals. And I actually might make a pretty good coach. But I cannot do what the person has the natural talents to do. I can't do that. I can't do that. But see, that is given to us at birth, and we develop those. But a spiritual gift is something that God gives us at our spiritual birth. And that is the time when we are born again. When we come to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've talked about this extensively, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and he also gives us spiritual gifts. Now, we need to talk about that, because we don't, for some reason, Baptists are really scared of spiritual gifts. And I'm not sure why we are, because they're God's gifts to us, and we need to use them. He gives us spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ." Yes. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11 says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but one Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all people. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one it is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, to another gifts of healing by this one Spirit, and to another the effects of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another variety, various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works through all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills, not God wills, not he wills, the individual, but God wills. We are given a spiritual gift, and we don't talk about that. And sometimes I think we may not even know what our spiritual gift is. We may have an idea of what it is, but we may not know what it is. And there's a lot of confusion out in the world about spiritual gifts. There's a lot of confusion, and I don't want to get into all the little nuances of, is this gift acceptable? Is this gift acceptable? What I want to get into, the fact is that God has given you a special ability through his Spirit. Can you have more than one gift? Yeah, I think you can. Again, according to your faith. But God has given us spiritual gifts to use, as well as talents and abilities. The last little point that I want to make, and we will talk about the spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about that more coming up. But the last point I want to make this morning is that God wants us to use our talents, our abilities, our gifts for the building up of the body. God doesn't give us talents and abilities and gifts to use for ourselves. He doesn't use it so that give us these things so that we can be glorified. He doesn't do this, give us these things so that we can show off, or so that we can stick out our chest and say, "I'll help the gift of this. I'll help the ability to do this." Now, I mean, we see that in the world. We see, especially in the professional world, where professional athletes and stuff like that, they do something that is really neat. And what do? Man, I'm so I do this, man? See what I could just do, you know? And I'm sitting there thinking, you're getting paid $4.8 million to do that, so why are you sticking your chest out? Because you don't do it every time, you just do it occasionally. You pay me $4.8 million, and maybe I can be motivated to do that. No, I can't. It goes back to gifts and talents and abilities, all that. But, you know, that's not what God gave us these talents and abilities for. We are to use them, yes, but we are to use them to build the body of Christ. Going back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not so that I can make money, so that I can be looked up to, so that people will revere me, so that people will think that I'm special. No, it's so that the body of believers is built up. It's for the common good. 2 Corinthians 14:26. Paul writes, what is the outcome then, brethren? When we assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. There's a big religious word there. Edification basically means for the building. For the building. For the body of believers. For the building up of the body of believers. For edification. Everything we do needs to be looked to in the light of building up God's body. Building up His church. His kingdom. See, we can't have this individual look at things, or people are going to really be awed by what I can do. No, we need to look at how can I help the body to grow? Can the body use my gift, my talent, my ability for its good? And the answer is yes, because God made you that way and He intended for you to use those gifts. Ephesians 4:12. Paul also writes, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of believers. And again, this is in the midst of a spiritual gift inventory. A passage that talks about spiritual gifts. That's the reason he gets. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to what? To the building up of the body of Christ. It's not to elevate myself. It's not to raise me up here and say, well, oh, look how well I can see. Wow, look how good I can talk. And as you all know, I don't talk well. But, you know, it's not for that purpose. I'm not up here to wow you. Because I don't think I can do that. What I'm up here to do is to help you to grow so that the body of God can grow in our midst. And so that we can be a stronger family. And so that we can be together and united and to grow together. I'm excited about this family thing that we are to support and encourage one another. To help one another grow. I don't think we've been doing that. You know, yeah, we throw a Sunday school class out there and we have some very gifted teachers. And we do this and we do that and stuff like that. But do we really work on growing the body of Jesus Christ in our midst? That's us. That's us. And if we look at it for our own good, then the body suffers. But when we look at it for the good of the body, then the body gets strengthened and the body grows. God has made us very special. And He's given you things to do that He didn't give me. And He's given you talents and abilities that He didn't give me. And He's given you spiritual gifts that He didn't give me. But He did give me what He wanted me to have. And when you set each one of us apart on our own, we are really nothing. But when you put us all together as God wants us to be, then we are really something. And no power on this earth can stand up to the body of Christ when it is functioning as God intended it to function. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have knit each one of us together. We are not an accident. We are not a freak of nature. Lord, we are who we are because of you. Help us, Lord, to live up to that responsibility. Help us, Lord, to use our gifts, our abilities, our talents, not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to you and to grow this body of believers. Lord, help us as we strive together as a family to grow in you. Thank you for your word. I pray that it will dwell in our hearts and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just stay with us. We sing our closing song.